Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The exclusive home for the Red Sox. Red Sox. Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence Boston. A radio.com sports station. This is your 60-second COVID-19 update on WEEI.
I'm Danielle Murr with your 9 a.m. COVID-19 update. Jobless numbers are out. 2.1 million Americans filed for unemployment benefits last week, bringing the total number of those who have filed to over 40 million since the beginning of the pandemic. Coronavirus numbers in the Commonwealth continue to be on the decline. As of right now, there are 2,106 COVID-19 cases currently hospitalized. Health officials in Vermont report that for the first time since mid-March, Vermont's hospitals have zero COVID-19 patients. And in an attempt to drum up tourism, the Mediterranean island nation of Cyprus has announced it will cover all costs for anyone who tests positive for coronavirus while on vacation. A letter sent to airlines and tour operators this week was obtained by the Associated Press, and it details the government will handle all costs associated with accommodations, food, and medication. Tourists would only have to pay for their flight home. WEEI is helping Boston stay connected. For more, visit radio.com/stay connected. Your next update comes at 11 a.m. here on WEEI.
This hour of the Greg Hill Morning Show brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings at Kaplansky.com.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space.
Boy, Ken, you have apparently infuriated former New England Patriot Matt Light.
Oh, jeez.
While listening to the program.
What's his beef?
What does Mustache say?
Want me to read the text verbatim?
Verbatim.
I don't know the name of the guy on your show who is drinking the Kool-Aid, but he really should grow a sack and stop spewing idiocy.
Yeah, be a man.
Let's grow Mustache. A sack.
Yeah. Wait till he calls and Ken will be like, hello, Mr. Light.
I loved you in Super Bowl 36.
Oh, yeah. Big Patriots fan.
That's my lane.
Max?
This is Paul. This is Paul from Marblehead. What's up, Paul?
Hey, everybody. Good show this morning.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
Just checking in on my head's ready to explode and just trying to find out where you are at on this. Do you honestly go against testing, tracking, and masks? Do you think that's too hard of a chore for anybody to do in today's world?
I've said this a billion times, but I'll say it again. I wear a mask unless it's going to somehow, you know, get me sick, or I'm going to get more of a chance of getting sick by wearing it, which some experts say, not many, but some say that. But I wear it because that's what has been asked, and so I do it. So with regard to tracing, I mean, I guess I really don't care. I just don't understand. And people are going to lose their minds now because I'm saying that I'm giving up my freedoms and you know, I nobody needs to know where I am, who I've been talking to, all those things. But I just don't understand why now? Why barbershops and hairstylists? Why not the Home Depot or Walmart? Or I mean, why? I don't. Where's the rhyme or reason to it, Paul?
Great. What liberties are you losing? Do you have a cell phone? Do you have a car?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so most of those liberties, if you're actually going by the Liberty Spiel, if you have a cell phone in a car, pretty well gone. Right? They can track you anywhere you're at. They know where your car is. They know where you live and what's going on with it. So that excuse, and if you look at the, if you look at history, countries that have been successful, the Japans, the Australians, the New Zealands, the Germanys, all of them, quarantine, test, track, and look where they are right now. And if that's the worst part of my damn day, yeah, that somebody comes and asks me to do those three things, and I'm not a doctor, I'm not a grocery worker, and I'm not a policeman, that's an easy day, man. I'll sign up now. Yeah.
You know? Are you at all concerned about how we're going to pay for all of this?
I'm a weird bird. I have a second half that is a physician in a major hospital in Boston. Job is furloughed since March. A major executive was making good money, gone, and have lost two weddings. So, yes, I am concerned. But if we do the right thing the right time, we won't be barking at this in October and November. But if we keep going down this field, we're going to be killing ourselves. We're going to be coming up again like a turtle and going through the same damn thing.
Paul, but what is going to stop a second wave? If we do everything right, you're saying, and we get to the cooler weather of the fall, we're just going to have to go back home again, according to you. Like, 'cause this isn't going to stop it from coming back. It's not going to get afraid of us. It's a virus.
Identify it, choke it, and trace it.
But we can't choke it. Like, it's here. It's a virus. It's in the United States.
So if you take on Germany, right, example, and you might be right. It might come out too soon now, and it's too much out there. But the model is you identify it right away. You quarantine those people, and they didn't quarantine them at home. They quarantined them in hotels, if you looked at most of it. And they got them good. And the death rate's way down, and the incidence is below 2%.
Right.
But
all these models change, as you well know. None of these models have been the same throughout this, and everybody, the one thing that everybody agrees on is that it's going to come back when the weather gets cooler. And so doing all this now. You're saying we're going to stop it from coming back. It's going to come back. It's going to be here.
Well, what are we doing to stop that?
I was told we were flattening the curve, and then once we flatten the curve, Mayor Walsh says we can't go outside because we flattened the curve. So I don't know what we're doing.
That's my point exactly. What are we doing to stop it, to choke it even further? Well, we're not doing anything. We're just turning on the valve.
Paul, Curtis's point is that short of a vaccine, you're never going to be entirely safe and free from it. So what is the difference between now and the fall and the moment until we get a vaccine?
So the people that, you know, your bright gentleman and a woman that come on and say, a mask is hindering me, tracing is hindering me, mm-hmm, do you think that helps or doesn't help? Does that assist in stopping this?
Or is it just laughable?
I
generally believe in adult Americans making their own decisions for themselves, educated or otherwise, and that what somebody says on the radio is of inconsequence. I know because it gets, you know what it gets into? If it doesn't fit what you've decided, that you're going to listen to every single rule from one person or two persons.
True.
And yes, and you have determined that this person who wearing a mask, since you want to use this example, whose guidance are you accepting on that? Name the person.
Well, it's probably, if I'll go back and look at the article, I can proof the sources, and it's probably 20 to 30 sources. Now, as I said,
except for the Surgeon General of the United States, who said that it does absolutely nothing and should be reserved for medical people.
And the biggest tracking service, the biggest service is the ones the countries were successful. And if you look at the ones,
We're not talking about tracking. You brought up masks because masks has become this big issue.
I'm talking about masks.
Yeah. So, people want to say that if you disagree with them, you somehow want everybody to die. And it's the most offensive thing that is.
No, I disagree with that too.
It's irresponsible.
Here's the bottom point. Let's say worst case scenario. Let's say a mask doesn't work. Let's use that. But let me. How does it make people feel? I go for a walk in Marblehead every single day.
It gives you a sense of security. It gives you a
right.
A, right.
So, So if you so go the back entire to the country, health issue,
so yeah. in your opinion, you want everybody else to refrain from being selfish when it comes to getting together with their family and their friends. But in this case, you want the entire country to do something that gives you a sense of security, right? I just want to be clear about that. That's what you want.
That makes people feel better. Let's say that's the argument that it doesn't do anything, which I'll disagree with. But yep. Let's say it doesn't. Let's say it doesn't. And if putting on a mask when I go out for a walk and I walk by six people and they feel a lot better because I have one on.
Yeah. Well, you know, there used to be.
That? If that's
there
the used worst to be, part of my day, suck it up.
Yeah. No, I understand that. Oh, I mean, listen. There
suck
used
it
to,
up.
You know, there, but there used to be a time in this a period of time in this country where everybody wasn't entitled to feel great and feel good about everything. And there have been periods of time when there were struggles, when there were things that made you feel nervous, made you feel uncomfortable, made you feel anxious, made you feel worried. And generally, we haven't held the whole country accountable to making you feel good.
And Paul is full of it, because any dad that got out of paying for two weddings should be the happiest guy in America.
Well, he's from Marblehead. I'm guessing that finance not an issue up
That's
there.
True.
He did say he was an executive that had been furloughed.
No, I think he said his wife.
His wife's in the medical field.
Oh, yep. So he's been furloughed, or I thought he was saying she had been furloughed.
I heard it as his wife was in the medical field in a prominent hospital in Boston, and he was executive level and had been furloughed. Maybe I misheard, but that's what I thought he
All
said.
All I know is that we know far too much about Paul's life.
Yeah, I'm going to go drive through Marblehead and try to find him and give him a high five.
Now,
with a glove on.
Now, this texter says that they disagree. They believe that masks promote fear, a sense of fear, not a sense of security.
For some people, yes. Yeah.
I get scared when I see masks still.
I freak out if I just, like, it's just such a weird dynamic to be in any business establishment that's brick and mortar and have somebody walk in with a hat, sunglasses, and a mask on. Like, you can't see their face at all. And it's like, normally you would think the person is going to rob the place.
Greg, or should I say Bobby Flay, last night I saw a commercial for Las Vegas advertising that it's a new Vegas that'll be opening up to you soon. And when they're ready, they'll let you know. Yeah. There is one shot. It's all stock Vegas footage. There is one new shot of somebody sitting by a famous Vegas pool in a mask on. And it is so jarring, and it jumps right out to you. And then it's like, oh, God, I don't want to go there. Ah.
The new normal.
Yeah. No, I hate it.
Were they in a cabana with two other people 6 feet apart? And
they
had a straw in the bottle for their bottle service?
With people holding 8-foot sticks between them just to let them know how far apart they were.
That does happen in Vegas.
The funniest thing, though, about Paul and many people who share his point of view is that they think that we can, like, defeat this. If we all get together, it's like it's a war, as Ken likes to say. We'll defeat this virus. Like, there's literally nothing we're doing that's defeating anything. It's alive and well, and we don't have a vaccine for it. Like, they think that if we do well in the summer, we'll get more time in the fall. Like, it is nothing is...
We saw it. They did this first responder tribute hero ad where they showed all these posts from people who were on the front lines, whether be they medical people or... delivery people or grocery store. And they used actors for all of it. So it wasn't any.
So it wasn't anyone that actually worked in that capacity.
No. They weren't real posts.
I thought I saw Ordway walking around.
Like, defeat the purpose or what?
Yeah, because everyone's too busy actually working to post on Facebook.
This is Patrick. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Patrick?
I want to comment about Paul's comment about Germany or other countries, taking down your information. Didn't they do that a long time ago? Make you wear the Star of David out of benevolence in the beginning?
Yeah, Ken,
never trust your government. Ever, ever, ever.
Yeah, what if you need your trash picked up, though? Or like a fishing license?
Trust That's a good there. Comp.
Right. Need a list of the top five go-to arguments when it comes to contact tracing. Nazi Germany, number one.
Oh. Yep.
Can we just stop with Nazis for anything ever again, please?
Thank you. Oh, great. Now that you mentioned that, I just got a Slack from Bradford saying if I could write that up for EEI.com, that'd be great.
All right. We got to get to what is trending.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
And don't forget, son, there is someone up above. And this
kind of Ken, I hope you're not directing that at Matt Light, calling him a simple simple man or anything before he comes on the show.
I'm not
here.
Directing. He's directing things at me. I don't even know the guy.
You don't even know him. Matthew.
Did he play for the Patriots?
Or? Yes. Yes, he did.
Wow. Pretty good.
Matthew.
Hey, good morning, sir.
What's happening?
Oh, just listening and judging and listening and judging.
Mm-hmm. You were concerned about Ken and some of the that he should sack up, he should man up.
Yeah. Listen, we are so beyond the point of being considerate, you know, and it's time to take the gloves off and just say it like it is. And if you have a platform where your voice is heard, and I apologize, Ken, because I know you're right. We haven't met. And by the way, I am a simple man, but we haven't met. I didn't know your name, but I said to Hillman via text, I said, can you please tell the guy who's drinking the Kool-Aid to grow a sack?
And then may
I add that I got a text message from my man Todd as I was on hold here, who said, "Rip him apart." Now I'm not going to do that. That's not right. But there is that sentiment that exists out there, and there are people like myself who have no problem saying what they mean. Now it's a foreign concept in a lot of this country, because we've been told for so long that if you can't say something that everybody agrees with, you shouldn't be talking. But when you have a platform and people are listening to you, you have to be able to hear another viewpoint. And I hope you can hear it, because when you let fear rule the roost, nothing good comes out of it. And that's exactly what I hear when I hear your points that you try to make.
Were you afraid of Dwight Freeney or no?
Fear. Was I afraid of Dwight Freeney?
Ah, come on. Oh, wow. Listen to Ken's
spin move.
Oh, my God.
Goodness.
That was a good line. Come on.
It's just a low blow. You see, but this is what happens on the school playground, right? Whenever the one little kid is getting hit with knowledge, the other kid just says something really loud that requires all of his buddies to be like, oh, that's a stupid thing to say, Ken. It's a stupid thing to say.
Max right? Lane's on now, the other listen. Line. We got another washed-up tackle to get to next. Come on.
You got to respect the fact.
You can say anything you want about me, but you do not bring Max Lane into this, okay?
Yeah, right. I'm kidding. Go ahead. Teach me up. School me up.
Well, listen, I mean, look, first of all, my biggest question for you, and it's a really simple one, is why in the world do you believe anything that comes from the media world, right? Like you of all people, why would you drink their Kool-Aid? Why do you think their numbers are real? I mean, they're the same people that fed you all this stuff about Hillary Clinton being up by 3,000 points. There's no way Donald Trump could win. And you were probably at the time going, yep, she's going to win. She's going to win. Why? Because the poll said she's going to win. And why am I afraid of COVID-19? Because all these people are dying. These are the numbers they're telling me. I mean, come on, son. You gotta understand, if the numbers don't make sense, and they don't make sense, there's nothing about them that makes sense, you need to start asking questions instead of drinking the Kool-Aid, Ken.
So you don't believe 100,000 people have died in the United States?
No, listen, there's 100,000 people that die during this time frame every single year, okay? Now, the better question, Ken, is, how did the 100,000 people that you're talking about die? Because I can guarantee you this, Ken, and I know many people in the healthcare industry, my brother included, who runs an ER in Columbus, that these people are dying and they're telling you it's COVID-19, and we all know that that's absolutely false. Not all of them are dying of COVID-19.
Now, see, you say that, Matt, and there's going to be people that are pulling their hair out and enraged that you would say such a thing.
Well, and you know what? I understand that, because there are people that fear, and then there are people that try to use other ways in which they formulate their opinions. I'm not leading with fear. I am of the opinion that this virus has killed many, many, many people, and it's no different than the viruses that kill many, many, many people every single day. And guess what? We have not shut down the world ever. Not in the history of mankind have we shut down the world. So again, Ken, I ask you, if the numbers aren't crazy, 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 which these numbers are anything but crazy, why are we in the state that we're in? And on top of that, if other areas of the world have clearly shown that people can be trusted to make good decisions and allow them to live their lives the way they should be, and no one is just dropping dead around the corner, while...
Oh, we're losing you.
It's a conspiracy. They're shutting them down.
The tracers have shut them off.
Mm-hmm.
Damn them.
Oh, you're back. Okay.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean, we shut down for 2 months, Matt. I mean, more than 2 months. What are we at now? 3 months of shutdown? You don't believe that had an effect? That kept the death toll low? And by the way, what do you think of Jason McCourty, who's currently on the team, who says he's afraid of going back to off-season workouts and to restaurants?
Well, look, at one time, I think probably a lot of people were a lot more through the day with Jason McCourty, but I think that if Jason looked at all of the data that's out there that's real, it would be hard for him to feel that way at this point, right? So, you know, look, at one point, I think people should have been very, very concerned, as I was very nervous about where we were headed and what was going to happen. But again, common sense and just real data speaks volumes. And that's what we have to lead with, not fear. And we, you know, it'd be nice if we had leaders, especially here in the Commonwealth. Of course, we're dealing with the, you know, Ed Markey's and the Elizabeth Warrens and the Charlie Bakers. I mean, there's a good start if you want to make things really difficult to be productive and efficient in the world. You know, so, you know, we've got a long way to go to find leaders in this area. But if real leaders stood up and had the balls and said it like it is, I think we'd all be a lot better off. And a lot of people, like my buddy who runs a gym, who's worked his heart, you know, and soul into everything that he does and is being massively infected, maybe those gyms would be open and people could be pumping iron and having fun doing life.
When you look at football stadiums, do you think fans should be there in September?
I really do. Yeah. Yeah. I think if they had the ability to be there right now, they should be, you know. By the time we hit September, if we're not back to business as usual, then, you know, we're just it's a bad world.
And how do you feel when it comes to masks? I mean, we get into it. People get very upset if you suggest that you where do you stand on it?
Hey, listen, man. I've worn a mask one time for about 5 minutes. It'll never happen again. And it actually was a savior, because somebody that was in the store that I was in, if they would have known it was me, I would have had an awkward conversation. They're a little bit weird. So I'm thankful for the mask for that very point. The only time I wear a mask, you guys know this, is when it's camo and I'm trying to hide from an animal. You know, these masks don't do anything. Again, there's solid data that points to that. And, you know, come on, people. We're smarter than this. We're better than this. Let's just live life.
Maddie, you're 6'4". I love how you think that somebody wouldn't be able to pick you out in a grocery store just because you had a mask on.
Hey, you know what's awesome? I'm sitting there going, I can't believe this mask is hiding me. This is crazy.
Maybe they didn't want to talk to you either.
Hey, thank goodness, because this guy's a little bit strange.
Gotcha.
Hey, did you watch the match?
You know, I didn't, and I'm actually really upset because I would have given anything to seen the split pants of a Mr. Tom Brady.
He said those were his church pants, that he shouldn't have. So does he wear tighter pants? I was trying to figure that comment out. He said that the pants that he split, he shouldn't have worn also the church pants. Does he wear tight pants to church? Is that a thing? Am I missing that or?
Well, everybody does. It pushes your faith up to your head, you know, when you're in church. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why one would say something like that. It just sounds ridiculous. But maybe it's true. I don't know. Maybe church pants are supposed to be more form fitting.
Well, like everything in life, there are some people who have really enjoyed what you've said, and there are some of the texters who are enraged that you're on the station and that you're. You're a blowhard, and the radio station. I love how this whole thing, by the way, it has. When did what we're doing in this country? When did the dividing line be what your politics are? Like, why can you not express concern about those who are out of work and businesses that are being destroyed without being labeled based on your politics? Can you not have an opinion that's not based on politics?
Hey, listen, can we take it real deep here, right? I've been saying this for years and all the work we do with our kids and everything else. Number one, I always tell these kids, I say, hey, look, once you're around somebody long enough and you've given it enough time and you've realized that, hey, we may be a little bit different, but I can still respect this person, then you can formulate an opinion on someone. So look at the body of the work of the people you're around and judge them for what they do and how they do it and over a longer period of time than just surface deep, right, for a day or two. That's number one. Number two, right, is, you know, we don't suffer enough. I use this message to kids I talk to all the time. And at first people are like, well, that's a weird thing to say. But it's really, really true. We don't suffer enough. We don't prove that, you know, we've earned where we're at. Things come way too easy. And because of that, you have a lot of people that look for drama around every corner. We know this to be fact. If you look at any Twitter feed or anything and the knee-jerk reaction of the world and, oh, my God, I can't believe he said this and I can't believe he did that without really understanding the true message behind the man or the woman or whoever it may be. We're better than this, people. We do need to suffer. And when we're suffering through a moment like this, we need to learn from it. And there's a lot of great things we can learn from this. And I sat my kids down at the beginning and I said, hey, this is not ideal. I got a daughter that's graduating from Foxborough High School. She didn't get to do any of her senior year. That's a tragedy. But guess what? Here's all the great things that have come out of this. We spent a lot of time together. We've been cooking a lot together. We're getting fat together, of course. But, you know, there are positives. And if we don't start focusing on the things that are real, that are positive, that aren't just the, you know, easy things to poke fun at or to bitch and complain about, then we're never going to get to where we ultimately want to be. Let's just shut up for a minute, soak in what's real, and move on. It's time to get to Cincinnati, people. We're moving on to Cincinnati.
All right. Say some interesting things this morning.
Hey, Matt, quick Patriots question. So Ninkovich went on to ESPN last Friday, and he said that Brian Hoyer is starting week one for the Patriots. I lost my mind. Is there any chance in your mind that it's not Stidham week one for the Patriots this year?
Hey, you know, that's an interesting take. And look, I know this much. Bill has a way of trying to motivate people. And he also likes to go with the tried and true or what he has the most confidence in, even if it's maybe not what is ultimately going to happen long term. So I could maybe see that. Look, Rob has a lot of, you know, hooks still into, you know, the organization. He was obviously there more recently than I, and he's got a pretty good take on these things. And there's actually some truth to the idea that, you know, Brian Hoyer could be the guy week one, showing a young quarterback, you know, what it's like to kick off a season and the pressures that come with it, and let him build his confidence a little bit more.
All right. Well, what time? Tell me what time you're listening tomorrow so we can shut Ken's mic off. Well, the same time, 8 o'clock hour, something like that.
Hey, listen, all Ken, all you got to do to make up for this is support the Life Foundation, GameDayTampa.com, buddy. And if you win, I'll be with you. We'll be able to hang out the weekend, go visit Tom Brady, Drew Brees down in Tampa, all expense paid trip, man. There's my plug. I love you guys. Thanks for all you do. GameDayTampa.com. Let's raise some money.
All right. All right. That is Matt Light, and we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
This is Jamie from New Hampshire. What's up, Jamie?
Hey, Greg. So I think I can clarify what Tom might have been saying, because it's something I tell my kids. One of my favorite shirts that's 20 years old, I just can't let go of it. And when I wear it, I tell them that it's either my Sunday shirt or my church shirt, because it's full of holes. So it's a holy shirt.
Ah. Oh, so Tom was making a funny when he said that.
He might have been making a funny.
Ah.
Or maybe I'm just relating. I don't know. But, you know, yeah. that's what I think he was meaning.
What did you make? I thought this is a really interesting point that Lou made on the show on OMF about going to Tampa and being allowed to be more exposed personality-wise may not be a great thing for Tom Brady. Did you hear
Yes, I did. And the New York Post even wrote a story on Lou's take. It was a big national news.
But what, I mean, I essentially what he's saying is that over the last month, we've all gotten to know Tom Brady way more than we did when he was playing here, and the result might not be so great.
He's done a complete 180 when it comes to exposing himself and the kind of content he's putting out there.
Yeah, but
he and Giselle did a TikTok interview yesterday about who's funniest, who makes up first, who eats the healthiest. Benny's in the background pointing at the two of them. It's like they've opened all the big sliding doors into the Brady life. It's weird.
Lou's essentially saying, like, he's not that, you know...
Lou's saying Brady's unlikable.
Or that he's not Mr. Personality, or that, you know, and that all you could do prior to this was suspect that, that Tom.
This is jilted lover syndrome, Greg. This is like saying, oh, I never liked him anyway.
We had this, Curtis, vision in our minds. Like Greg, you just said, like, we've built Brady up to be this entity in our minds of what we think he is. And now that he's pulling back the curtain, it's like, that wasn't really where I was going with that.
But I think if he were still a member of this team and everything else remained true, let's say Belichick left and Josh McDaniels was the head coach, and he was showing us who he is, I think we would all be 100% behind it if he were still a Patriot.
Of course we would, because we're fickle.
This is Brady. He's excited that he finally has someone who's, you know, he's not getting a call from Belichick or Burge or Ernie Adams every time he reveals anything or even just says hi on Instagram. This is like 20 years of pent-up social media want and just... acting out for a chance.
I mean, Jared Stidham's on Instagram this morning selling his wife's panties.
They're actually restocked in every color, and they're so dang comfortable, and they're 20% off right now with her code.
Wiggy just walked in, by the way.
What is up, GBO?
What's up, Slim?
What's going on?
Danielle, what's popping?
What up, baby?
I heard Matty Light and Ken going at it.
Yes.
Boy, did I pin him.
Yeah, the only thing you were missing was a Nick Kazier joke in terms of Patriots tackles over the past 20 years.
Speaking of opioids,
I'm with Matty Light, man. I'm not wearing my mask no more, man.
That's it?
Nah, I'm good. I'm good. No more masks. That's it. I'm going on the side when it all comes down in the summertime, you know, when the weather gets hot, it's going to come down to it. I'm on the side of the reopen, no mask people. So
I mean, there are
rioting in streets, man.
But there are
TV.
But there are some who are listening and saying that what Matt Light said was dangerous.
Is that what they were saying?
Yes, dangerous.
Then they can stay at home. They can stay at home with the rest of the people that are afraid to walk outside their doors.
I'm a man.
I think they're saying that he's a science denier. He's a data denier, Ken.
Find the real data.
No, well, that's
find the real data.
That's the problem.
Trump's got it.
There's no real data, so it depends on what side. That's why I said, what side are you falling on, Greg? When it all goes down, and you know what I'm saying, there's two sides. The reopen it, no mask people, and then there's the keep it shut down mask people.
I think you know where I stand on that.
We gonna need people.
Light's a Dwight Freeney denier too. Jeez,
good to see that we've all finally been able to breach the gap and come together. There's only two sides.
Nah, there's no. Listen, Fitzy, come on, man. You know better than that. There's only two sides. That's it. And what side are you on?
You either with me or you're against me.
Theory from a texter on the holy pants of Tom Brady. That he is now bailing out from the Under Armour deal.
Oh, wow.
And that's why he's taking that approach. I highly doubt he's going to bail out on that.
So.
I don't think he's going to bail on a deal that he has stock in. Like, he owns a percentage of Under Armour.
Yeah, that pays him pretty good. Every time Steph Curry sells some sneakers, Tom Brady's getting a piece of that.
What about when he smells them? What happens?
What's his different. Instagram thing you just tweeted out? I can't click on it. It says it's private.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know why it's
this
private.
This is some real S-word.
Yeah.
I swear from
Wiggs. Yes. Some real ish going on. I don't know if you, there was a video a guy put up on social media, and that's on Instagram, and he was on his son's neck with his knee, all because of the George Floyd situation.
What he was showing, what it was like?
No, he was showing, like, this is what I have to teach my son, America, what you teach your son this morning. As a black man on top of his black son, it's for somebody who has two black young boys growing up that are going to be young men. I don't know if you guys have seen the George Floyd situation in Minneapolis.
Yeah, we were talking about it this morning.
Yeah. And I would say this. Here's what I would say. As somebody who knows a lot of people in law enforcement, knows a lot of people on the criminal side as well, don't lump everybody, you know, don't let one, you know, few bad apples spoil the bunch, but I think that's where we're headed. You know, because there are plenty of good police officers out there that do things the right way, and then there's cowards like that dude, and we've seen them all over the news before.
Where's where we're headed? Lumping all of law enforcement
I think, yeah, into the I think, yeah, no. we're headed in that situation. But I want people to understand, I don't want to be lumped in into the criminal, he's a criminal based on how he looks, right?
Right.
So then I don't want to judge and now lump everybody in. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're fighting for that every day as Black Americans. We're fighting, don't judge me based on the color of my skin and instantly lump me into the category of being somebody who is here to cause harm. Like we seen, you know, what was it, Crazy Karen or whatever we're calling her, the one with the dog.
Yeah.
Instant reaction is Black man,
right,
threat. So don't lump us in the same way. Like, I know there's a lot of good people in law enforcement that don't want to be lumped into the category of all police officers are bad. So, and that was the post I put up. It was just a guy on his son's neck, you know, with his knee, and basically telling his kid, just relax, breathe. You want to come home alive. And so it was like some real ish that here's a guy that he now has to teach his son. And I can relate to that by having a 14 and a 17-year-old son. And both of my sons are, you know, pretty good size.
Yeah.
And they're going to be viewed, they're going to be looked at differently just because of the color of their skin. And I want them to be able to come home safe.
I get the same thing when I tell people I'm from Stowe.
It is true.
You know what I mean?
I know it is true. I've heard some of the stories about Stowe.
They immediately start.
Very relatable.
They immediately start to assume things about you.
I call them the cul-de-sac king.
Yeah, well, you know what?
Well, Wiggy, I want to ask you, though, like, did you see the meme that was traveling around the most last night was like a picture of Kaepernick kneeling, and it said like he kneeled because of a guy taking this knee, and it was a picture of obviously that cowardly cop on George Floyd's neck. I mean, do you think this brings back as if we already weren't going to have trouble enough getting fans to the games and dealing with all the other issues right now in 2020? Do you think this brings back a new wave of protest?
No, I don't think so. I think we're kind of, you know, I think when you think of the whole kneeling protest in the NFL, I think it's kind of past that. Now it's, you know, what do we do to change things? How do we build? And I know that in some places they, you know, some of the professional teams work with the police department and, you know, going around to the communities and showing that, hey, we can't have a good relationship, trying to, you know, create that dialogue of police, especially in the inner cities. Like, what, you know, what can we do to make you guys feel more comfortable on both sides of the map?
Don't you think, we were talking about this earlier, that certainly that one cop.
No, it should be all of them.
But start with him.
Yeah.
He should be under arrest right now.
Yeah, he should be being charged with murder.
And you say the other guys
and
ought
the other
be,
guys
the
too.
Other guys ought to be arrested as
arrested,
well.
Arrested, charged with murder as well. Because
charge them with murder?
Yeah, because if you go back and you look at the picture from the other side, I don't know if you guys saw it. There's a picture like from behind.
I didn't see that.
And there was two other police officers like near his lower body, like near his knees and his feet. And then there's him on his neck. And then there's the guy in front of, you know, the
car. In front of the cruiser, right?
Yeah, in front of the cruiser. So there's like four dudes right there. Him handcuffed. Like, what is he doing? He's not going to. And the guy's, I mean, if you're going to put your knee on his back, all right, I can understand that. But you got your knee on his neck and he's like, yo, I can't breathe. And he's not going anywhere. He's handcuffed. You got complete control of the situation. You would think you'd have more remorse for that rather than just, you know, somebody. And as a police officer, you would think that they would have shown, like, the Eric Garner situation where it was a similar situation where a guy saying, I can't breathe. They got him subdued and maybe say, hey, listen, maybe we need to just pull off a little bit, make sure that he really can breathe. And because we have control of the situation.
I mean, I couldn't even watch the whole thing. I mean, it's
that's life, man. That's life. But that's the life that, you know, I don't have to live as much here, right? Because I played for the Patriots, so a lot of people recognize me for that. But my sons and a lot of people that I know that didn't play professional sports, Black men, that's the life that they have to deal with every day. You know, my sons have to deal with that every single day when they and my wife and I, we have to think every time they step out the house, they could run into one of them bad apples. And you don't necessarily have to be in law enforcement because we've seen it with Ahmaud Arbery, who was basically killed by, you know, just two regular people.
Yeah.
But that's all. And that's why I put that post up. But
Well, I mean, it's hard not to be recognized when you're handing people an autographed 8x10 as soon as you as soon as you meet them.
I did get pulled over yesterday, and that was the first thing I got in the police officer.
And to think you have to teach your kids that, and I have to make my kids go through my love of Brady and all my terrible jokes.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I don't even carry around license and registration, just my 8x10s.
just a highlight
As soon
reel.
As he goes, hey, you got license, here's that officer.
Why are you sending me a picture of the snowball?
Did you see this catch before Vinatieri hit the uprights?
I said, that's me right there.
Hey, so, no. You remember this?
But I want people to understand that not all people in law enforcement are like that.
No.
The same way not all black men are looking to do harm and violence.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So that's...
No. And honestly, how those guys could stand there, the other guys, and not get him off?
It's crazy to me. It's crazy to me, man. This is the world we live in, man. That's why I said when it comes summertime, bro, you going to pick a side, mask and reopen. No mask and reopen, man.
A texter is asking what George Floyd did to get arrested. I think he had he was trying to buy something at a deli or something.
Yeah, it was a $25 bounce check. But I don't care. I don't care what he was doing. I don't care if he was a resisting arrest in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Once you get to a certain point where you control the situation...
He was cuffed already.
Yeah,
right?
he was handcuffed. He was handcuffed, and now there were four cops. The situation was controlled. I don't care if prior to that he was resisting arrest. You still got to understand, all right, we have control of the situation. It's the same way with the dude, Ahmaud Arbery, where it's like, oh, you know, could he have been trespassing? I don't care. You don't. If you're concerned about that, call the police and say, hey, there's somebody who's trespassing. Let them deal with it rather than, you know, follow the guy down the street and then ultimately confront him with a shotgun and a pistol.
Frontier justice. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see. I think that's the thing I want people to get away from. Look at the situation. Don't say, oh, what did this guy do? What happened before that? We all know that you had control of the situation.
All right. Well, you'll be in here tomorrow morning.
Yep.
What are you guys talking about today?
Baseball.
Baseball.
I heard you saying it. I am right. You know, here's the saying: when I'm right, I'm right, and when I'm wrong, most of the time I'm right.
But you don't think there'll be Major League Baseball?
No, there won't be no Major League Baseball.
Okay.
And a little bit of a tease: Dale disagrees adamantly with Wiggy's take on the murder by the cop in Minneapolis, so they're going to get right to that at 10.
Yes. He's on the cop side.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know how he feels, apparently, about killing squirrels.
Yeah, squirrels. It's all set.
He's lost his mind lockdown here.
What was going on yesterday?
I got a squirrel problem. They're going through my trash can, so I'm getting a 30-06, and I'm going to set a message.
Great.
Well, Danielle, the first squirrel comes up on my property. I'm living harmoniously with them until they start eating my trash and putting holes in my trash cans.
You know somebody's going to call 311 on you when they hear loud gunshots.
I'm calling them right now.
There's always gunshots in my neighborhood.
There is?
I always hear, I mean, there must be a shooting range.
Fireworks every night in Dorchester. Who knew? We were missing the fireworks.
Yeah, he's in the leafiest suburb of Boston.
Yeah, and there's always. Yeah, no, I'm nowhere near Boston, bro. I'm way out there. Right, but there's always gunshots, though. I think there's a shooting range.
I think
range.
You're relatively close to a rifle club.
Yeah, there might be some. I got to join, though.
In New Hampshire.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget, you're doing all your business in New Hampshire now. Did you cross the border yesterday?
Yesterday? No, I didn't get a chance, but this weekend we're crossing the border.
Bring the autographed 8x10s.
And we're driving across. Yeah. Proud. We're driving across.
Don't give up any information. You don't know how you're going to. You may run across.
The governor said that on this show that I'm more than welcome to come there. I bring my 8x10s.
Can you swim across to the border of New Hampshire? Can you go across from Massachusetts via water?
I can.
To New Hampshire?
Yeah, from where I live, I could. Okay. Yeah. Right. I could go to Salisbury. And
all
swim
right.
Across.
Dale and Keith is next. And the crossover today brought to you by National Lumber. Wait till you see them. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6. Thank you for listening. However you listened, whether you listened on the radio.com app or streamed us at WEEI.com, thank you very much. We'll be back tomorrow.
I took a shovel and cut its head off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.